I'm Dan Hughes in the Treasure Corner. Hey, you know those Christmas newsletters you get every year? The one where Mom won the pie-baking contest at the county fair last summer, and Dad got another promotion last spring, and Junior got the highest score in the school on the No Child Left Behind tests. And you realize there are all these perfect families out there, and what happened to you? Well, I wrote one of those letters a few years ago, and a lot of people liked it, and you can read it online. I've made a link on the blog page here. But one of my readers, Bob, didn't care for the newsletter. He said it whooshed right over his head. And I felt bad about that, because I'd raised his hopes and then wasted his time. And I wanted to do something for him to make him feel better, and since he lives in New Hampshire, I just said, hey, wouldn't it be great if you could treasure hunt year-round? Why don't we build an indoor treasure hunting park? I thought an idea like that might perk him up. And he said, yeah, that makes a lot of sense, and we talked back and forth a little bit about such a park. So in this show, I thought I'd throw out our ideas and see what the rest of you think. Now, for those of you who live in the South, where you can hunt year-round, this may all sound pretty pitiful. But on the other hand, we might be able to offer you a few things you can't get at home. So herewith, the rough draft plans for Treasure World Park. Three events sparked this idea for me. The first was the 1960 Minnesota State Fair. When I was a kid, my cousins went to the state fair, and they told me that one of the most popular attractions was a trout fishing pond. It was set up right there in a big building, a huge swimming pool with lots of trout. You paid maybe a dollar to run a fly rod and a fly, and if you caught a trout, you got to keep it. I found it fascinating that someone figured out that if you can't go to where the trout are, you can bring the trout pool and all to where you are, or where the crowd gathers, namely the state fair. The second event that sparked my imagination was the 1979 Dahlonega, Georgia Gold Rush Days Festival, which I attended. Dahlonega is the town in northern Georgia where gold was discovered in 1828. So much gold that the government set up a mint there and Dahlonega gold coins were minted until 1861 when Georgia left the Union. Every fall, the Gold Rush Days are celebrated and one of the most popular attractions is gold panning. Not at a creek, but in a long wooden trough set up right in the middle of one of the main streets. And through this trough runs gold-producing dirt and water that was hauled in from a nearby stream. So again, if you can't bring the people to the stream, bring the stream to the people. The third part of the idea stems from my other hobby, softball. Just like treasure hunting, you can't play softball in the winter, unless you have access to an indoor softball facility. Several northern cities have these indoor fields, and the game is played year-round, even when there's a lot of snow on the ground outside. So, here's my idea. First, you get a huge building with a dirt floor. If they can make them big enough to play softball, they can make them big enough for treasure hunting. Then you decide what you want to put in your indoor park. A few tot lots, for sure, so you can take the kids and they can play while you detect. Let's run a gold-producing stream through the middle of the park, and rent out gold pans, a stretch of beach area for the jewelry hunters, and some shallow water for the hunters who like to wade, a fake farmer's field for relic hunters, and part of a schoolyard for the coin shooters, another field with numbered tokens that are good for prizes, like in a club hunt. We'll have metal detectors for rent so everyone can come, and we'll reseed all the fields every night so they'll be ready for new hunters every morning. Should we charge by the hour or by the day? Make them pay extra for each part of the park they want to hunt? What would a good entrance fee be? It would have to be pretty high if we're letting them keep everything they find, especially if we put some really good stuff out there. Softball teams pay maybe $1,500 to play inside in the winter, and the clubs have no trouble getting that, so I'll bet a lot of people would pay $50 or more to hunt for a day if they have a chance to find some really good stuff. Maybe we'd charge, say, $20 for the tot lots only, and extra fees for the bigger prize areas. Okay, that's my daydream. What have I left out? What's in your treasure park? Post a comment on the blog page, and with any luck at all, we'll have this thing up and running by next winter. Thanks for listening. For more articles about treasure hunting, visit treasuremanual.com. In the Treasure Corner, I'm Dan Hughes.